Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Purple. The Purple mattress, not the color. This isn't Sesame Street. You're going to love Purple. And right now, you guys can get a free Purple pillow with the purchase of a Purple mattress. That's in addition to the great free gifts they're offering site-wide. Just text GHOST, G-H-O-S-T, to 84888. The only way to get this free pillow, text GHOST to 84888. That's G-H-O-S-T to 84888. Message and data rates may apply. It's official. Real Ghost Stories Online and the Grave Talks will be live at the Crescent Hotel for one night only, August 11th, 2019 at 7 p.m. And you are invited. I'm Tony Brewski from Real Ghost Stories Online, and I can't wait to meet you at the Crescent Hotel this August 11th for an awesome night of ghost stories. We're going to have a lot of fun at the Crescent Hotel that night as we record an episode of Real Ghost Stories Online live. The stories on this episode come from you guys, the audience, live at the Crescent. Then it's a live episode of The Grave Talks as we talk with Crescent historian and paranormal investigator Keith Scales. We'll learn all about the history of the hotel, how it came to be, why it's haunted today, what goes on at the haunted Crescent Hotel, and allow you guys to ask your questions as well with a live Q&A segment. It's a fun night full of ghost stories at the historic haunted Crescent Hotel, a hotel that we've had many stories from shared about over the years here on the show. Tickets are only $25 a piece and are on sale now. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com and click on the Live at the Crescent Hotel banner to purchase yours. They are very limited, though, and when they are gone, they are gone. Real Ghost Stories Online and The Grave Talks live at the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, August 11th, 2019. Get your tickets now at realghoststoriesonline.com. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, how bad does it have to get for a haunting to be known as the Summer of Hell? What do you do when night terrors become real and a large family struggles to survive in a home they call haunted?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Right on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or of course you can also email your audio file to me if you want to record it on your smart device. Send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. And of course, if you like this show, if you have any interest in it continuing into the far reaches of the future, then become an extra podcast person, an EPP, on our website at ghostpodcast.com or through Patreon, patreon.com/realghoststories, the two places to become EPP members. It's only $5 a month, less than the cost of a cup of coffee. That support, that $5 a month, gets you access to all of our EPP bonus episodes, the archive of them, 250-some there for you, brand new ones every single week that we come out with, 352 weeks in a year. Also, you get access to the advanced episodes as we create them, so weeks before the public, free e-copy of our book, and a kitten. You get a kitten every time you a yearly kitten. There's no kitten.
No kitten.
But you get everything else. So do check that out. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to help keep us on the air. We could not do this thing without you. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hi.
I like singing today. I don't know why. I found some more Mandela effect stuff that we were talking about the other day.
Oh, he did. Okay.
I love these. Oscar Mayer.
Yeah.
Spell it. Oh, yeah. Spell it. More so the second part.
M-A-Y-E-R.
Damn you. You weren't Mandela affected.
No.
Okay, the Sarah Jessica Parker show on HBO that she's very well known for from the late 90s, early 2000s.
Uh-huh.
What's it called?
Sex and the City.
Damn you. it's everybody says Sex in the City.
Oh.
The end of maybe like Mandela effect just doesn't affect you. I don't know. Okay. Queen, We Are the Champions.
Yeah.
How does it end?
I don't know.
Oh, it's just like, we are the champions.
My friend.
No.
What?
Well, everybody thinks it's Of the World.
Oh.
Of the World isn't in there.
Okay.
And the thing is, when I think back on it, I can hear this in my head of him singing Of the World.
Uh-huh.
Nope, not there.
What is it?
It just ends. It's just, We Are the Champions is how it ends.
Okay.
Monopoly Man.
Uh-huh.
Monocle or no monocle? How you remember it, not what you think the real answer is.
No monocle.
No monocle is correct, but a lot of people think he has a monocle. Jenny is not affected by the Mandela effect.
I think they're confusing characteristics of Mr. Peanut with the Monopoly Man.
I think you're right. That's what that confusion is. Curious George. He does. I'm not even going to ask you anymore because you know the.
Okay.
And she doesn't have him in front of her. She's just Mandela effectless. You can't get her.
Mandela immune.
Mandela immune.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. I don't play well with this game.
Curious George does not have a tail.
Right.
I think that's about it. What's this Kit Kat one? Does Kit Kat have a dash in it?
No.
Of course it doesn't. Jenny knows everything.
I don't know everything.
I thought there was a dash in it, too. So there's some other interesting...
I've just eaten way more Kit Kats than you.
Exactly. So there you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go over to our first letter of the day. It says, it was the summer of 96, or better referred to as... the summer of hell. And I was doing December 1963 or 1986 in our last one. It was the summer of 96. Just reversed. You know, it's the Brian Adams.
Yeah, I know.
I can't break out into Brian Adams.
No.
To really. No.
Don't.
Then you could play the guitar.
I don't have the energy to tell you to stop singing okay. this episode.
Okay. So the summer of 96, better referred to as the summer of hell. I can't help but blame myself after all. I've watched plenty of horror movies to know all the basic rules, but even then I ignored the most important one. I was young and curious, so attracted to anything horror. I played with a spirit board by myself, and if that wasn't enough, I had chanted spells that I found in a spell book written in another language. Frustrated at what I thought was a complete fail, since nothing had happened, I continued on with this dangerous combo. A few days had passed, things began to change. I started hearing strange sounds. For each night that went by, that evil entity became more aggressive. Some call it sleep paralysis, but I know it was an evil force holding me captive. I can hear the growling in my ear and the voices as it whispered to me, calling out my name. Then I was terrified. I fought so hard to have just enough courage to open my eyes, and then fear would strike again. Then I would witness with my own eyes a hooded shadow figure by my bed and shadow figures darting in and out of the wall while calling my name. It was getting worse. I can now feel it touching me. It actually touched my foot. It wouldn't let me sleep, and it was as if it was getting stronger. I was so scared, and knowing it was my fault, I didn't want to tell anyone, especially my father. All my family had warned me about tampering with spirit boards. I no longer felt safe in my own home, and every chance I got, I tried to go somewhere hoping that this thing wouldn't follow me. I distinctly remember several occasions where the evil did follow me. My aunt had asked me to stay with her and her family during the week to babysit a little cousin while she worked. I'd fallen asleep. Something had disturbed my sleep. I opened my eyes to the light above me flickering on and off. I immediately left the bedroom and fell asleep on the couch for the rest of the night. Another night I experienced the same exact thing, but this time, as I left the room, I heard whispering coming from my cousin's bedroom, which was located right next to the living room. Confused and terrified, I started to wonder if it was my cousin that I'd been babysitting, only to find out later that day he was sleeping with his parents in the room, their parents' room the entire night. I knew I had to dispose of the board, and when I did, I heard a voice later that night say, "I'll come back." Eventually removed, and I began feeling safe again. The activity still happens from time to time, and I realized later that this thing wasn't a part of the house. I summoned it. It was attached to me. I thought I was losing my mind until one day my older cousin had visited. She also was a believer who had had her own personal experiences. We were exchanging stories of strange events, and she distinctly says that she heard heavy breathing coming from upstairs. We both looked at each other, and she noticed my dog turn towards the direction of the stairs, and she heard it too. She lived there prior to me and stated that she's never heard that during the time of residency in that building.
I think this is just a great example of why you don't mess with things that you don't truly know inside and out. Like chanting, you know, what was it they were chanting in other languages?
Yeah.
Conjuring things, then you don't even know really what you're doing.
Or what you're saying.
Yeah.
You know, specifically when you're doing that. Yeah, it's just best to not go down that road. But I get it. You know, you're kind of, you know, young, you know, when you're doing this and you're thinking, oh, I think sometimes when you're at that age and you're doing that sort of thing, there might be an element of almost wanting to prove to yourself that this isn't real. Almost like proving that a childhood fear was just that. It was just a childhood fear. And I'm an adult now, and I'm going to prove to myself that this stuff isn't real. So yeah. I'm going to mess with it. It's that little arrogant stage of like 18 to like 22, where it's just like, nothing can stop me.
Sure.
You know, and then the Starship theme just plays in your head over and over.
Right.
Did you ever get that? That's from 18 to 22. That's the only thing that was in my head. It was, nothing's going to stop us now.
No, I don't have that on a loop where it just, you know, plays in my head.
Every day I'd wake up. And if this world can da-da-da-da, we'll still have each other. Nothing's going to stop us. Nothing's going to stop us now. Whoa, whoa. That's, yeah.
That's great.
Anytime I had an idea, like, I'm going to go get a 10-piece McNugget meal. Nothing's going to stop us.
Just anything.
Anything.
Just anything.
I'm going to do my laundry. Nothing's going to stop.
That's great.
And then after 22, stopped. And
okay,
it's really weird. That would be hell.
That would be hell.
That song over and over and over. But I get that. I remember being that age, and there was, believe it or not, I'm walking on air. in that mood today. I had coffee this morning. Maybe that's part of it. I remember being about 18, and there was a time, I don't know, maybe for 6 months or so, where I was kind of challenging the belief in ghosts.
Uh-huh.
And I, my whole life, believed in ghosts. I thought they were real. And I think it was kind of that I'm a grown up now. Maybe that's kind of a childhood thing, because it is kind of a fear. And I was trying to kind of, you know, this, you know, figure out who I was and what I believed in or not. And there was a time where I'm like, it got me to be able to like walk through dark rooms without fear. But it was more so saying, that's just, you know, that's just a childhood imagination thing. That's not real. It's just, you know, whatever. And then I was 18 and had the sleep paralysis experience shortly thereafter, which I still question as being sleep paralysis or not, because sure. I did sit up. And then that kind of made me go, okay, maybe there's something to this shit.
And had you not had that experience and you just stuck with not believing in ghosts, this show wouldn't exist.
I think some other shit would have happened.
Yeah, but I mean,
I would have been proven back.
At some point, maybe, but maybe not.
Maybe not. I don't know. I think it's just, you're kind of in that stage at that point where we look at some of these stories and go, that was really dumb.
Yeah.
But that's the age of, that was really dumb.
Sure.
And it just kind of, you know, you kind of do that stuff. So don't be ashamed to share your 18 to 22 year old stories on our show looking back for fear of judgment, because we've all been there. Never did the Ouija board, but, you know, had one been presented to me at that time, I probably would have tried it.
Yeah.
Thinking, nah, this isn't real. All right. I want to ask you guys a question. How did you sleep last night? Was it restful, or was it kind of like tossing, turning? It's okay. I'm just, you know, you're doing your routine, and your routine is not all that, I guess, satisfying. Maybe the right word. Sleep is important. The quality of your sleep definitely affects the quality of your daily life. Okay, when you get a restful night's sleep, you sleep the night through, you wake up, you're ready to go, and it's an amazing thing, especially if you're going from nights where you're not sleeping very well. If you're struggling to get a good night's sleep, you have to try the Purple mattress. Okay? This is not another memory foam mattress. There's a gazillion of those things out there. Purple mattress, completely different. You ready for something different here? Founders of Purple, two brothers, they've been developing cushioning technology for 30 years on things like medical beds and wheelchairs. And then they decided to finally use their patented comfort technology to create a consumer product, which is the Purple mattress. So what makes it different? Well, Purple mattress is going to feel different than anything you've ever experienced. Yes, it really is. Because it uses this brand new material that was developed by an actual rocket scientist. Exciting, right? So it's not like the memory foam that you may be used to. Purple material feels very unique because it's both firm and soft at the same time. So it keeps everything supported while still feeling really comfortable. Plus, it's breathable, so it sleeps cool. That's important. Ends up giving you a zero gravity-like feeling, so you can sleep in almost any position. It is awesome. If you don't believe me, you can try it for 100 nights risk-free. 100-night risk-free trial. If you're not fully satisfied, you can return your mattress for a full refund. And you're thinking, well, wait, I have to pay shipping. No, you don't. Free shipping and returns, backed by a 10-year warranty. You have literally nothing to lose. 100-night risk-free trial, free shipping, free returns. If you're not satisfied, it's all there for you, okay? Free in-home setup and old mattress removal as well. Want to try it? Convinced? I think you should be. You are going to love Purple. And right now, my listeners will get a free Purple pillow with the purchase of a mattress. That's in addition to the great free gifts they're offering site-wide. Just text GHOST to 84888. The only way to get the free pillow. Text GHOST to 84888. That's GHOST to 84888. Message and data rates may apply. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our next letter. It says, first, let me explain that I come from a small town in Southwest Virginia where ghosts and the like were always around. No one in those small mining towns was a skeptic. It was just accepted, and my family was no exception. My grandparents, parents, and siblings have all had things happen that no one can explain. I have several stories that I'll share with you, but I'll start for now with one experience I'll never forget. I've had night terrors most of my life. Some feel like they last forever, and I can't escape the dream, no matter how loud I scream to wake myself up. I've had lucid dreams in which I'm dreaming something that I become acutely aware that I'm dreaming and proceed to do things only I could do in dreams, like jump up into the sky and fly. But this one particular morning, I knew I wasn't dreaming. I was lying in bed one morning and staring up at the ceiling, thinking about the day ahead and if there was anything I needed to do that was important. The sun was up and the curtain in my room was sheer, allowing a lot of sunlight to seep through into the room. I started to get up when I saw a sudden bright flash of light come from the other side of the room, opposite the window. I tried to sit up and adjust my eyes when the light flashed again and turned a light blue color. There were sparkles like diamonds on the other edge of the light. It was very beautiful, and I started to look for the origin, like perhaps it was a reflection of light from my mirror. No, it was coming from the wall across from me. The light got brighter and closer, and suddenly I realized I could not move. In the same instant came the feeling that someone was in the room with me. There was. My deceased grandmother was kneeling beside my bed. Her face is so close to my ear, I could feel her lips. Her soft, pale hand appeared on my chest. I could smell her perfume. I could see the rings on her fingers. She was saying something to me, but I was so absolutely terrified that I don't remember what she said. I couldn't speak. I couldn't scream. In the background, I heard the phone ringing, and suddenly she was gone. I could move again, feeling like I'd been released from being held underwater. I took a deep breath and started screaming. My grandmother was there, I knew it. I had been a year since she died, and I was very close to her. My mother told me that Grandma was just dropping in for a visit and meant no harm. Perhaps that's true. I just hope she gives me a little heads up next time she wants to drop in for a visit. Maybe I won't have to be paralyzed throughout the experience, and we can catch up on some gossip just like the good old days. Thanks for reading this. I'm a new fan of your podcast, and I'd like to share it with everyone.
I think that might be the first sleep paralysis that's like a welcome entity that comes to visit.
Yeah.
That's kind of neat.
not something where it's like, shit, I didn't want to hear that story.
Right.
No, it's going to be like stuck in my mind of fear, but more so of a visit that you can't interact with, I guess.
Yeah.
To a certain extent. Thanks for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Remember, if you want to support our program, this is primarily supported by you guys as extra podcast people. That's what we refer to as EPPs. It's only $5 a month to support the show. And when you do that, you get access to all of our bonus episodes, 250 plus of those. You get advanced episodes of the show weeks before they go to the public, a free e-copy of our Amazon best-selling book, Real Ghost Stories, Haunting Encounters Told by Real People, video content, and more. It's all accessible at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month. Support our show. Keep us on the air. We couldn't do it without you. Let's go to our next story. It says, you have to understand a few things to understand the story. I'm a child of five, the middle. At the time I was living in this house, I was 9 or 10 years old. My parents were not married. My dad had to get out of my mother's house fast. One of my sister's friends from dance was moving, and their current home was right where my dad wanted to move to. So they invited us over to check it out, and my dad bought it right away. The house wasn't big enough to hold 5 kids, 1 adult and 2 dogs, but my dad was just going to look over the blueprints of the house to see if he could build on to 2 lofts, one in my dad's room and another one upstairs from the living room. The first day in the house, we all slept on a mattress because our beds weren't in yet. For some reason, I wouldn't sleep in my room. I wanted to, but wouldn't let myself. So I just crashed with my sister and one dog at the time, a miniature dachshund, Lola. We've never really heard her bark that much, but she would not stop barking this day. She'd just bark at the door, even though my dad was out getting food for the morning and my brother was at hockey practice. It was only my little brother, Daniel, me, Elizabeth Lauren, and Lola. Then out of nowhere, Lola started whining. Then the room turned ice cold. In the middle of spring, in Arizona, Lola started jumping from the mattress to mattress over and over again. Once my dad got home, I settled in his office. We had very little furniture at the time. His office was the only room finished. So while he was on the computer, I crashed on a chair that I had broken my foot on. I broke my foot several times, but I broke mine 3 times in that house. I'll get to that later. I only had a blanket, no pillow. I started to feel a tickling sensation in my foot. I giggled, then I felt a sharp pain. I screamed at my dad to stop, but he was on his computer. This happened several times when I was in that chair. About a month later, it was Father's Day. We were all in my dad's room unwrapping gifts, having fun. My older brother, Michael, wasn't there. Soon, though, he came charging in, screaming at my dad, saying, "This house is haunted." Mrs., the name that they omit, knew, "You never told us. How come I've never experienced anything?" My dad started talking about what this woman had told him, that she was one day folding laundry, and she turned around, and there she was, smiling like a haunted smile. She started screaming and throwing clothes at her. She was mentioning her cleaning lady had quit, running about the house screaming. I decided to go to my room to get changed. I wasn't a believer in ghosts. As I was walking down the hall, I saw a dark figure at the front door. I screamed, and my father came running in. "She's here. I saw her, I swear." My dad thought it was kind of odd. No one else had seen her, only orbs out of the corner of their eyes. Everyone just went into the kitchen to make breakfast, and I followed in shock. School restarted about 2 months later. I was standing in front of the mirror in the doorway around where I had last seen her. I was making sure my hair was okay. I looked deep into the mirror. She was there. By this time, I saw a full human standing there, slightly glowing. She had hair about shoulder length. She had a white shirt on with a half top that tied in the middle over it. She had a knee-high skirt on, and she had a hand on my shoulder. She was young and beautiful. When I turned around, I saw a black shadow. I turned back to the mirror, and the shadow was there, but it didn't fade away. It just popped out of sight. I screeched, ran into the loft office to get my dad. She's got her hand on my shoulder. A black shadow was all I could get out. One night, I was sleeping in my room, and in the room, the little ghost girl with the same name as me wouldn't let me in. I felt a quick whoosh of wind. The fan knocked over. I had a bunk bed. Where's the bell? Way over here. Gotta get the bell in. I had a bunk bell, so my fan was all the way by the closet. I woke up like I'd been lifted up and then thrown down. I tried to get up to fix my fan and close my already closed window, but I couldn't. Something or someone was holding me down. Whatever it was finally let me go. I investigated. My fan was back in place and my window was closed and locked. I went back to sleep. Back then, I heard a woman's voice singing me a lullaby. Simply covered my ears and said, "Go away, my mother doesn't live here." But another month later, my dad got me a small pet mouse. She had a metal wheel in her cage, which she loved, but she was not your normal rodent. She would awake during the day and sleep at night. I noticed that her wheel was always spinning at night, so one night I decided to investigate, and there she was in her little house asleep. I was watching in horror as the wheel turned itself. We lived in the house for a year and a half. That half, we tried to sell the house. People would walk into the house happy, loving it, then walk out almost depressed. Of course, I was the only one that noticed. As strange as it sounds, we had three mice, one for all of my sisters and me. For some reason, mine, Roxy, killed my little sister Lauren's mouse, Mood. We thought it was strange. Only happens when there's a male mouse, usually, but we only had female. They were at my mom's house for 2 days. We left, and we only had two mice left, Roxy and Cookie. When we came home, the Cookie was dead. My older sister was crushed. It appeared that she had died of starvation, but my dad had just fed her the other day, and she had five bowls of food. Everyone was empty. It was impossible. My dad looked in her mouth to see if she had choked and was all clear. Then I walked into my room and screamed as loud as I could, "Roxy, Dad, Roxy!" He came running into my room to see what was wrong. She had a huge cut on her rib area. We rushed her to the vet and couldn't find any way that could have happened. I ran in my room putting Roxy down on my desk. "You did it!" was all I screamed. We moved 3 months later. I and my dad decided to investigate the home's history. It turned out every owner had some sort of relationship with the last owner. My dad hired a psychic, and she said the chair I had slept in was where to see the mother ghost. My room was where her daughter's room was and where she died. She was a Mormon and hated rodents. I have many other experiences, but there were many, too many to fit into this story. I was the only one who experienced so much in this haunted house.
I guess it's good it went after the mice and not the girls.
It's a plus.
Yeah, that's so scary.
I don't know, you know, when you have something like that and it's attacking your pets, you know, a lot of times, I think sometimes as adults, we can be like, well, it's just a mouse. But it could be, you know, when you're a kid, those mice are just as important as your dogs.
Yeah,
you
sure.
Know, it's just right up there. So it, you know, it clearly was, I don't know if it was just didn't like mice the way that, you mm-hmm. know, it said the former owner. I guess that could be some cantankerous old woman who's just like, I don't care that you love them. I'm going to kill them.
I was thinking maybe the little girl was jealous that the mice got the attention and she didn't.
That could be that, too. It's hard to know. Or something darker, just killing mice, as a warning. It's hard to know. But it's good to hear that it stopped there in terms of the physical harming of things mm-hmm. with mice versus the people themselves. Thanks for sharing that story. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi, let's hear your real ghost story.
Hi, this is Jeremy from northeastern North Dakota, about as far northeast North Dakota as you can go. I have a few stories here. I guess it all started when I was a kid. We were farmers. Tools would go missing out of our shop. We'd use them, set them on the bench, you know, walk back out on front of the shop and do whatever, come back in 10 minutes later, and they would be gone. And nobody grabbed them. It was just me and my dad, and he swore up and down he never used it. And he would ask me, and I'd say I never used it. And so we'd search high and low, come back about, or be in the shop a month or a couple weeks later or whatever, and it would be laying right on the bench. And just stuff like that happened. Oh, it still happens now, so, but that was the first real experience of something. And then after that, I was probably about 14, it was late in the fall, we had fields to work. And so we had to kind of work all night because it was mid-November, getting ready to snow, freeze up where we couldn't work the fields anymore. So I was disking one night. And it was late. My dad was across the road. He quit about midnight, and he wanted me to stay out a little bit later just to finish up the field. So around 1:30 a.m., 2 o'clock, After I would make a swat through the field, when I turn around at one end of the field, started going the other way, at the opposite end of the field, there'd be a light lying straight up with the tractor, and I couldn't figure it out. It was shining from the sky down, so it wasn't another tractor or piece of machinery or equipment working in the field. It was completely dark. There were no lights around me, and when I'd get close to it at the other end of the field, it would just kind of fizzle out, disappear, and when I turn around, it'd be at the other end of the field. Could not figure it out. I had like a creepy feeling, but after about a half hour, it disappeared. And then, I'd say 10, 12 years later, was kind of the same thing. And this is a really scary one. I was working some ground. The field was a perfect square, and there were a row of trees along the east side of that field, close to the Red River. And as a kid, we heard stories that the Red River, there was a demon or something running around the Red River, which we all kind of just thought was bullshit, but scared us as little kids. But I was 27 at this time, 28. And so I was working the field. I came out after work to help my dad, and he said, we need to get this field worked tonight because the guy we rent it from wants it worked. So I told him I'd stay out as late as it takes to get it worked. And so I started the field, and he brought me fuel about 10:30, 11 o'clock, and said, well, you should be able to finish up with the fuel you got. Just bring the tractor home when you're done. So I was kept working, and it got to be, I had the dog with me. It was a Irish setter lab mix, and she is the timidest thing you'll ever find. Never barked or did anything. Never heard her growl or anything. But so I worked the field, and when I was kind of getting close to finishing up, I was on the one end by the trees, and very dark out. I mean, it was cloudy, no moonlight, no stars, no yard lights or anything around. And when I got close to a certain part in them trees, the dog's hair would stand up, her tail would stick straight out, she'd start growling and barking and jumping on the dash of the tractor and trying to look out. And so I thought that was kind of weird. I started getting kind of freaked out. And, so I made a couple more swats. As I got closer to the tree, she just started going haywire. So I thought, okay, maybe she's got to use the bathroom or something. And so I opened the door and let her out, and she bolted straight for the edge of the tree line. And she just stopped and just was quiet. And, I started freaking out. So I got out of the tractor. I had a big pipe and a crescent wrench with me, and I grabbed them just in case, you know, who knows. And I leaned down to pick the dog up. I looked into the trees, and I saw red eyes. Now, I don't know. It kind of spooked me. I threw the dog in the tractor and, you know, started working the ground again, and that dog kept going crazy, and I just tried to calm her down. And so I just finished the field up. And I just kept telling myself, oh, those red eyes were probably a raccoon or something. And, I folded the chisel plow up and started heading back towards the farm, which is about 3 miles from this field. And I started going down the gravel road and started to feel better. The dog calmed down as soon as we pulled out of the field. So I'm halfway home, about a mile and a half away from this field, and the lights on that tractor weren't very good. It was an older model tractor. We had older equipment. And as I got closer, the dog's hair stood up, and she started going crazy again. And I couldn't explain that. And I went about 100 feet further from where she started freaking out, and I saw an outline of almost a 6-foot man walking down the middle of a gravel road in a desolate area of North Dakota in the middle of the night. And I got spooked, and the figure moved over to the side of the road, so it was aware of me. And I went by it and just kind of glanced down from the cab of the tractor, and black, and looked like it had a hooded sweatshirt on. So I went a little ways and then stopped, and I thought, well, you know, it's not uncommon. A lot of drunks use them back roads, and maybe it was a person that hit the ditch. And so I, you know, I stopped, grabbed a pipe, because you never know about people nowadays. So I walked towards it, and about 100 feet away, it lifted its head. It had red eyes and sharp razor teeth. And I flipped, and I ran back to the tractor. The dog would not did not come out of the tractor. And so I flew back to the yard, drove the tractor right next to the house, went into my parents' house, and just sat there with all the lights on. And that was my experience. I've never seen that thing again. I told my parents about it in the morning, and the old man, well, he pretty much thought I was crazy. My mom was a little bit more open to stuff like that, paranormal stuff. And about a month later, our neighbor was over. We were working in the shop. It was, you know, December, close to Christmas. And he was over just kind of BSing with us. And we were talking. And then he just kind of mentioned some lights that he saw that night before. And Dad just dismissed it and walked out of the shop. He didn't want to hear it. And then I mentioned about that figure with the red eyes and teeth. And before I could explain exactly what it was, he had it down to a T and said, oh, you saw a figure about 6 feet tall with red eyes and teeth? And I said, yeah. He said, it's back, huh? And that really freaked me out. So I knew I wasn't crazy, because I wasn't the only one that has seen it in the past. And supposedly that thing's been running around up there for years. So love your show. Thank you for hearing my story. Hopefully I get to hear it. And take care.
I don't think I could handle being out on a tractor in the middle of the night anyway, and then seeing that. I don't think I'd sleep for a year.
Why not? Who doesn't love going out and for a nice tractor ride late at night?
No.
That'd be the advantage there is, like, you're up high, you're on a tractor, so if there is some sort of zombie thing with teeth wandering around, you could potentially run it over.
Yeah.
But I'd be like, oh my God, maybe I hit the neighbor who was wearing a mask. You know, or, sure, or something too. But yeah, that just the imagery in, mm-hmm, that. North Dakota, is that what he, mm-hmm, said? I do have to say North Dakotans. Is that how you would say?
I guess so.
North Dakotians?
I don't know.
A remarkably similar accent to Wisconsin,
uh-huh,
or Minnesota. What, it's like, it's the closer you get to Canada.
Well, he said he was as far northeast,
okay,
North Dakota as you could get. So that would be right there by Minnesota.
Interesting.
Yeah.
There you go. Thanks for sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Tickets are still available for our live show August 11th in Eureka Springs, Arkansas at the Haunted Crescent Hotel. You get them at realghoststoriesonline.com. In fact, I got an email from some folks. Let me find it here. In Canada. So this is just really kind of like, oh, here it is. Anyone who says this is a long ways away, I got some folks that are planning on coming in from Quebec.
Oh, wow.
And they're planning on, it's a 24-hour drive to get there.
Uh-huh.
And they're planning on coming in.
That's awesome.
So there you go. So no one has any excuse anymore.
No.
If it's too far for you. I know, I get it. It is a drive or a fly or whatever you want to do. But we do hope you can make it, if at all possible. Cities nearby, if you do want to do the flying route for coming in from a different area. Little Rock, Tulsa, for like larger cities.
Yeah.
Then you have Rogers Bentonville, which is Walmart headquarters. So they actually have a pretty good airport.
Yeah, they
there.
Actually have some direct flights from, yeah, some larger cities.
And of course, you got Oklahoma City. There's Springfield, Missouri. So there's some of the closer areas. Just take a look at a map. There's this thing called Google Earth now, which, yeah, I just discovered the other day. No, but it's, there you go. If you want to fly in, there's plenty of places to do it. Little short drive. You'll love it. Make a weekend of it. It'll be a fun time. Anyway, tickets are limited. There's still some left, but you can get them at realghoststoriesonline.com. So there you go. All right. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. You like our show, become an EPP extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.